right, we have something a little bit different today. My friends, pastors Eric and Amy Castile are here. Yay! And many of you know them because a few years ago they pastored the Cedar Way Free Methodist Church, and they led our Wednesday night youth group here at the church, so lots of our youth know them and love them. And they are, for the last year, they have been missionaries and researcher and pastors in Leuven, Belgium. And I bet a lot of you don't know where that is, although Adam probably does, so that's pretty cool. I think there's going to be a map shown up here. There's Belgium, and there's Leuven. They said Brussels is about the same distance as it is from us and Ann Arbor, right?
Ann Arbor to Detroit.
Or Ann Arbor, Detroit. I'm really good with maps, clearly. So they have been serving there for about a year and are just home for a few weeks, as most missionaries need to do to regroup with family and also to do some fundraising and just talk with their supporters who've been supporting them. Also, they have three children. One is Madison, who last year, as they headed off to Belgium, she headed off to college. So she is at Wheaton College. They just took her back this last week. And then both of their children, Katie or Catherine and Allison, Allie, have been attending school in Dutch in Belgium. So needless to say, there's been a lot of transition in their life in the last year. And I was, again, thinking about our sermon series and how often you get to hear the wow stories from missionaries, right? The ways that God is at work. And we're going to start by asking them about some of the awesome wow stories, and they have some wonderful ones. But then we're also going to talk a little bit about their backstage stories as well. Because not just people in the Bible have wow stories and backstage stories. People today, missionaries and you and I, also have wow stories of the ways that God is at work and have backstage stories, the ways that it's hard, the lessons that we're learning and the ways that we're trying to figure out how life works and how to follow God. And so let's get started with Eric and Amy. And we're going to start with simply share us some with us some ways that you've seen God at work where you've been.
Okay, so we live in a university town.
We might need to turn
let me
it
try
on.
This one. We can share. It's fine. We live in a university town, and there are about 28 nationalities represented at the church where we're pastors, and about 160 nationalities are represented in the town. So we have a ways to go. But we're on the way. But that means that there's lots of different kinds of people that you interact with and lots of cultures all at once. I have a different perspective because I'm doing some work, some research at the university. So I interact with mostly people in full-time ministry who have taken some time off to go and pursue an education. And one of the people that I want to tell you about is our friend Abe, who came to the church. I know him through the church instead of through the theology department because he actually studies science. He's sciencey stuff. I can't tell you what that means. I study theology. So he, during the 6 months of his PhD work that he was there, he's from Ethiopia and was raised in a home that is not a Christian home, and he has an amazing testimony. But he came and after a few weeks, he got involved right away, but after a few weeks, he started training pastors all around Belgium and France and the Netherlands and Germany. And so he trained more than 150 Ethiopian pastors living in Europe while he was there during that 6 months. That's an incredible amount of work. Plus, he did his PhD project. But a few weeks ago, he went home to be with his wife and small daughter. And as he was Well, okay, so his family was going to pick him up at the airport, and they were traveling in a van. And so those of you who have traveled around the world know that in other places, transportation sometimes happens in buses and sometimes happens in multi-passenger vans. So this was a big van like you guys have here at church, and there were several people in the van that was involved in a car accident. Every single person in the van, besides his mother and two sisters, perished. His mom and his two sisters survived. His mom lived 2 days, but died from her injuries, just long enough for him to visit her in the hospital and for her to accept Christ. And so when he was writing to us about this, he could have responded in many different ways, but he responded by saying, "Praise God that my family was spared so that they could hear the gospel one more time. Praise God that my mother had the chance to make a decision to live the rest of her moments for Christ so that I will see her in heaven." And so I know that you have been doing this backstage series this summer. And so he takes a view, much like Joseph took a view, that all of his life could be interpreted in one direction, but he chooses to interpret his life through the lens that it all means something, and God will work together everything that happens for good. So,
For me, Amy spends most of her time at the university, and I spend my time engaging with people that go to the university and that also live there year-round. So our church is quite diverse in that. And what we're finding is you have to understand the history of the area to understand the nature of the church there. Less than 3% of people go to church in Belgium. It's a very secular part of the world. Yet at the same time, this is the same spot that dealt with the Reformation. This is an old Catholic university town that directly corresponded with Luther during those times. So the local people there, their history of the church is one of an institution that is divisive, one that at one time during the Reformation literally killed people in the town square. In World War I and World War II, people involved in the church were pulled out of their homes and shot and killed. So they have this viewpoint of the church as being a destructive force. So when we're talking with our neighbors and our local Flemish friends, they say, "What do you do?" I say, "Well, I'm a pastor." One, we're only one of two churches that serve a university town of 150,000 people. They said, "Oh, there's a church here in town?" Well, yeah, and then they say, "Well, but you're married, how can you be the pastor?" So that's an interesting thing for them to understand. But for them, God is this unrelatable force that they choose not to believe in, that resides in the many cathedrals that are in town that are empty. God has become irrelevant. And they say, "I hate religion." And I say, "Well, I don't like religion per se, but I like the love your neighbor thing. And if I'm really honest, without me connecting to the source of love, I can't love my neighbor." And they say, "Well, that I can talk about." So in a town where people are supposed to not be open to the gospel, we're finding people are interested in knowing because they're longing for this something else. In the greater community and through our church, we're focused on intentionally developing relationships with people that are deep and diverse and generous, trying to reflect the life of Christ. And in doing that, it takes a sensitivity to invite people into your home, to get to know them. And we've had some good fruit from that. One of those is we have a Nepali, a Korean, and a Chinese fellowship that meet in our church. They come on Sundays to worship, but they meet during the week in their own language. In the Nepali group, there's a gentleman named Dhiraj, and Dhiraj is a Brahmin Hindu. Those of you who are familiar with the Nepali culture, he's at the top of the caste. His wife is a devout prayer warrior type who is involved in several Bible studies, and she had been literally abused and had some bad things going on at home because of her faith. He's about 49 years old, and in January, he's in great shape, experienced a very bad heart attack. And he took his two daughters next door. Somehow he put himself on a bus, made two changes on buses, blacked out during this time, gets to the hospital. He gets there and they said, "How did you get here?" And somehow in that time, he does all he can remember is he saw Jesus. And Jesus somehow got him to the hospital and he apologized for the way he had treated his wife. He repented to him during this time. And God has used this testimony. His life has turned around. He's being brought all over Western Europe right now to share his testimony. And they're in the process of talking about possibly planting another church in town. So when you develop intentional relations with people, when you begin praying, the miraculous does happen. God is there.
Amen. So those are the big wow stories, right? But you don't get to hear them every day, do you? So would you share with us, and this is hard sometimes, right? We all like to share the big, good stories, but sometimes the behind-the-scenes things are a little harder to share. But would you talk to us a little bit about the backstage? Amy, you're going to go first, I think.
Okay, yeah. So backstage. Well, one of the things I've learned this year, I'm going to add a little bit to what I said earlier, but one of the things I've learned this year from our African brothers and sisters is the idea of welcome. Because when Emma brought us to her home and said, "You are welcome," it felt different than the way that it sounds when we use it here in America. And so I have been learning this past year that welcome means you can stay as long as you want. You can eat as much as you want. You can unload and be who you are. There's no limit to the hospitality that's given. And we have truly experienced great hospitality from many people in our church. And so it's been a big challenge and a big a reason to be more welcoming, to say, okay, everything we have belongs to God. And so we want to mirror the hospitality that we've learned how to give. And so while we have been here, we have allowed our house, we've allowed people to stay in our house while we're here. And the first guests that were there caused some damage into the house. And so yesterday, when we found out about this, we were trying to manage repairing a leaky window from here, which is not easy to do. And so all of yesterday and today, I have been struggling. And I know that in your homework this week, one of the verses was Ephesians 4:2. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. And so how do I still exhibit welcome when giving welcome caused me, or caused us, some real angst? You know, it means that relationships are challenged. It's not always easy to be welcoming and generous because sometimes you feel taken advantage of. So I'm struggling with that right now. So, yeah.
For me, it's probably two areas I've been stretched in most, and part of it's due to my personality, and God did give me the personality, so I suppose it's okay. The first was when we moved over, Amy went in July, and we got stuck here because my and the girls' visas didn't come through right up to when the school started. So we had this big anticipation. We got sold everything, and we had to be in a holding pattern, and I'm not good with that. Then when we get over there the very next week, when we get there, we're all on bikes. We're figuring out everything takes twice as long, from opening up a bank account to registering with the foreign police to figuring out how to turn a breaker on when the breaker goes off, and having to be humble enough to ask your neighbor that I'm too stupid to turn the lights on in my house. So you go through a lot of questioning, and probably all of that exhaustion came to a point when I took Allison, my 11-year-old, to school. And the schools are very good over there, but they're going to Dutch schools, so they're having to go into a kind of a Dutch as a second language program, which I'm sure some of you here have gone through with your kids with English. And I had this moment where I'm biking to school in this 1,000-year-old ancient university town, which is beautiful, and we're having fun. But then I walk into a Catholic school, and it's half Muslim or a third Muslim, and everybody's speaking Dutch, and we had thought this through, and everything was fine. But I'm having the stereotypes we have of people that we don't really understand pop up in my head. I'm having all the thoughts in my mind of when I was a kid and moved, but at least I knew the language where I was moving into. My daughter's not going to be able to speak any English today. And I dropped her off, and we made it a good thing, but I'm biking home, and I'm crying. I'm thinking, Lord, what did I do? And I had this overwhelming sense that God was saying, I got you here. She's my daughter, too. The earth and everything in it is mine. My daughter is his, too. So I had to, again, turn that over to him, and he said, it's going to be okay. And it is. Both the girls, they're nearly fluent in Dutch. They're doing great. But it stretched me because I couldn't control it. And then from a ministry standpoint, there is, you know, you take on a new role and you want to prove yourself and you have all these plans of things that you know need to be done, but they don't go fast enough and you're figuring these things out. And we've all seen that we've been in a church. But the reality is I got to April or May or March or April and I sort of got burnt out. And we had gotten really outreach focused or trying to turn our people out into the community and release them to being a multiplying church. And we went to a street evangelism event in Brussels with a couple of other churches. And we had another guy in our church that Amy talked about who has the gift of evangelism. He's from Ethiopia. He went out and prayed with people. Like 8 people accepted Christ that morning. We all prayed with 100 people. But it was amazing what God did through someone that he was clearly godly gifted. And I kept saying, well, I prayed with people, but I didn't get anyone to accept Christ. Maybe there's something wrong with me and my calling. And yet, the very next day, I had a meeting with a girl from Iran who's studying, a graduate student at the university. And she came to me. We had coffee and unloads about her upbringing, about an angry God and not wearing, having the hair the wrong way in front of her face, being beaten by her uncles and her father. And she didn't want to believe in God, but she'd slipped into a depression. There has to be more. And I just looked at her and said, God loves you. And she wanted to pray to accept Christ right there after a 20-minute discussion on God loves her. The next night, she comes to our house. We have, you know, coffee, and she accepts Christ. And she just, a week ago, went back to Iran because we baptized her in the bathtub in our home with a group. And all of that to be said, it's another wild, beautiful story. But we make all these plans. And it's good that we step into that and step out in faith and do those things. But the reality is God had been working on his life for 7 months. Somebody handed her a Bible. Somebody spoke to her. And she came across my path. And I got the privilege of saying, God loves you. I did nothing but make myself available. And so much of our walk is about being willing to show up. And when we do that, God will use our gifts. So we're being blessed with where we're at.
Amen. Before we move to the next thing, I just would like it if we would all join in prayer for Eric and Amy. Let's pray for them. Lord God, Eric and Amy both told us that the earth is the Lord's and everything and everyone in it, and how they've been learning that. I pray, Lord, that you would continue to teach, bury that deep down in their souls, their minds, their hearts. May they walk forward, showing up in the confidence that you go with them, that you have gone before them, that you will go after them, that your work will be done. We pray that you would strengthen them, that you would fill them with your Spirit in ways that they've never experienced before, that you would provide for their needs. I especially pray for their financial needs. Lord, as they have been generous, would you pour out your generosity upon them? Provide in ways they never expected. And Lord, just give them strength for each new step of the journey. And Lord, we also pray that for their whole family, for Catherine and Allison and Madison. Be near them, strengthen them, show them how you are with them. And we ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you for sharing. So just so you all know, I had a whole sermon planned for this morning that's probably going to be next week. But it worked so well with, I realized as Eric and Amy were speaking at 8:30 this morning, at the 8:30 service, it still works. The earth is the Lord and everything and everyone in it. And yesterday, Nehemiah and Lubenju and Asifiwe, we and Beth Poole had the opportunity to go down to Indiana, 5 hours drive. I'm a little foggy today. Got up at 3:30 yesterday morning. But that's all right. God protected us. We made the drive. And Amy spoke about welcome. It was the first welcome home conference that the United States did as a welcome to our African immigrants who have come to the United States. And almost all of them were Free Methodists back in their home country in Africa. And so Bishop Bates, who is a previous bishop and a previous missionary in Africa, worked with Pastor Isaac Bujambi. Some of you remember him. He's been at church here and preached. And they put together this welcome home conference to say, we welcome you to the United States. And there were some wonderful things that happened and messages that we heard. But I wanted to invite Nehemiah to come up. And he's going to share just for a minute or two, or three. and he's going to share in Swahili for his brothers and sisters and about how the Lord spoke to him during that time. And then I will speak in English to share a little bit about what I received.
Yeah. Good morning, Church of God. Jambo kanisa la Bwana. Ndio, jana tulikuwa kwenye mkutano hapo Indiana, tulikuwa pamoja na Pastor Johanna na Madam Beth. Tulikuwa na vijana wetu wawili, Mlongecha na Lubenju. Tulishiriki mkutano wa karibu nyumbani uliofanyika hapo Indiana, kulikuwepo na watu wengi sana na nafikiri baadhi yetu niliwatumia message ya kuambia kwamba kuna mkutano na wale ambao wataenda wanijulishe ili niwape majina wa kuu wetu tuweze kuchangia usafiri. Lakini sikuweza kuona mmoja wetu ambaye alikuwa tayari kwa kushiriki safari. Hivyo mimi nilikuwa mmoja wao ambao walikuwa tayari nikabatika kwenda na wale wengine mida mimi naondoka wakaona wakasema na sisi tunataka twende. Tukashiriki pamoja nao. Mkutano ulikuwa mzuri na sana tulishiriki na watu wengine walitoka Afrika. Kulikuwa wa maaskofu kutoka Afrika tulishiriki nao mkutano. Na nafikiri wiki ya tarehe 23 mwezi wa 9 askofu mmoja atakuja hapa kushiriki pamoja nasi. Hivyo na ni askofu ambaye alitoka Afrika atakuja kushiriki pamoja nasi hapa, hivyo tutakuwa tayari kwa kumpokea. Neno kuu ambalo waliongelea jana, walizungumzia sana kuhusu uhamiaji. Ina maana nini? Sisi hapa ni wahamiaji, tumetoka kule nyumbani tukaja hapa kama wakimbizi. Ndio maana ya uhamiaji, mkimbizi ni mhamiaji. Sasa kama wahamiaji tuna makao yetu. Makao yetu ni kule ambako tumetoka na itakuwa siku moja itatakiwa turudi. Sasa ilitaka kumaanisha nini kitheolojia? Kitheolojia, yani kibiblia, inamaanisha kwamba sisi ni wageni hapa duniani. Sisi ni wahamiaji hapa duniani. Lakini makao yetu ni mbinguni. Ndio ambako tulikotoka na ndio kule tutakakorudi. Kuanzia sisi na wenyewe, yani hao wazungu, sote tuwa geni hapa duniani. Lakini makao yetu ni wapi? Ni mbinguni. Hivyo unapoishi duniani, jaribu kutengeneza nafasi ambako unaishi, yani uhakikishe kwamba unaishi vizuri na Mungu ili utakapoacha maisha ya duniani ujue ni wapi utakakokwenda. Usije ukapoteza makao yako. Makao ni mbinguni. Usije ukaenda nafasi nyingine. Unajua mtu akifanya makosa nyumbani kwao mara nyingi hawezi kurudi, anakimbilia nchi nyingine. Sasa unakuta unakuwa mtu ambaye kwa sababu ulifanya makosa huwezi rudi. Na tusifanye makosa kwa Mungu kwa sababu tusikimbie kwenda kwake. Tufanye vizuri kwake ili aweze kutupokea katika ufalme wake. Amena.
Amena. Thank you. Thank you. I don't know Swahili, so I'm not going to translate what he said. But I want you to think about this idea that the earth is the Lord's and everyone in it. And here we heard about all of the ways that God is working in Ethiopia through Belgium. And yesterday, as I listened to the bishop from Rwanda speak in English and get translated into Swahili, because he speaks mostly French and a couple other languages, but not Swahili. And most of the people there spoke Swahili. and a bishop from Congo, and then Bishop Kendall from the United States, and retired Bishop Bates. It was an amazing thing to think about the fact that God's family and the church is so much bigger than just right here. And the last few weeks I've been speaking about shalom and our right relationships and peace with each other. And the bishop from Rwanda, and do you all know the history of Rwanda? It was only about 20, 25 years ago that there was basically a civil war and huge killing. Thousands of people died within a short matter of days, and they had previously been neighbors and friends. And whatever happened, the absolute opposite of shalom happened. And the bishop of Rwanda stood before us yesterday and said, "Our job as people of God is to bring shalom and reconciliation." He used that word. And I thought, wow. If someone, and he talked about being an immigrant and a refugee for 4 months in Congo right after that event, and how he related to the many refugees who are here in our country, because for 4 months he experienced what that was like. And yet he went back to his home country where all of this turmoil and war had happened, and he sees it as his job as a follower of Jesus to bring shalom. It was so much better than any sermon I had ever preached, because he was living it, right? Every day of his life, he's fighting back and trying to figure out, how do we live together and at peace? And Bishop Kendall reminded us that all of us are immigrants, because when we receive Jesus, our home is in heaven, and none of us are home yet. And so all of us feel a little unsettled here in this world, not quite perfect yet, right? Because we're not home yet either. And so perhaps we can embrace and welcome fully any immigrant that Jesus sends us. And you know, we're immigrants in transition in many ways. It was wonderful to hear about Eric and Amy talk about what it's like to move to a different country and figure out even that the hours of the stores and banks are different there. And so you could think of a rhythm of life you had here, and then they went to a new country and they have to figure out a whole new rhythm of life. We're all immigrants, and we're all waiting for the day that we will truly be home with God. In the meantime, let's give a little grace to each other and live a little bit of shalom, right? And work to create the peace that we all know we can through the power of Jesus, because I don't have it in me on my own. I don't. It's a beautiful thing. Before we pray, I'm going to ask the kids, does anyone have a flower that they made for me? Because I have an empty vase here. You can bring it up and lay it here or put it within my vase. I think we went too long, and so now they made everything else out of their flowers as well. Thank you, Edie. Edie made me an awesome flower. Awesome. Oh, and a butterfly. Oh, look at that flower. Beautiful. Let's put it right here. Ah! A bunny. I got two bunnies here. That's awesome. Thank you. Ah, look at that beautiful flower. Thank you, Colby. All right. The wild, crazy earth and everything in it is the Lord's, yes? And somehow he will weave it all together to make something beautiful. And there's a rainbow right over top. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you. Thank you that you take us where we are, that you place us in new places, that sometimes you even move us to new places because you have a new purpose for us. Thank you that you choose to come in us and live through us. Thank you that you love us right where we are. Thank you for this earth and all its amazing beauty that reminds us to worship you in spirit and in truth. As we leave this place today where your light has shone, may we take your light with us wherever we go, to our places of work, to our homes, to the places around the city. May we be bringers of your peace. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.